Tonight, the purpose of this message is that you will hear the doom, and then we're going to turn to the age of the New Testament that we live in, the age of grace. And the age of grace has failed in the lives of so many people, but it has not failed in you. God's grace is not through with you. But first I have to read the sad words. And that's a very light word compared to what it really is. I'm going to be reading to begin with in the 7th chapter of Ezekiel, and then we'll move out of the age of the law and see how the end of the age of grace will be. Ezekiel chapter 7, sad words. Thank God these are not for you and me tonight, unless you choose to go under the law and under the severity of Almighty God's judgment. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, Ezekiel, saying, also thou son of man, thou sayest, the Lord God unto the land of Israel. Thus he says, an end. The end has come upon the four corners of the land.
Blessed be the Lord.
Now is the end come upon thee.
Blessed be the Lord.
And I will send mine anger upon thee. And I will judge thee according to thy ways. And I will recompense upon thee according to thine abominations. And mine eyes shall not spare thee, neither will I have pity. But I will recompense thy ways upon thee, and that thine abomination shall be in the midst of thee, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, an evil, an only evil, behold, is come. The end is come. The end is come. It watcheth for thee. Behold, it is come. Is that for you and me today? Is that the gospel? Is there any good news in that? Then let's find out the good news for you and me and for all who will let Jesus be their propitiation, their substitute, their Savior. We're going to turn now to the book of Romans, the 11th chapter, verse 22. This is for you and for whosoever will may come. This is not the end, this is the beginning, if you and I will allow it to be. Please do not cling to the ways of our salvation, but the way of God's salvation. Verse 22 of Romans, the 11th chapter. Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, not yours, not theirs. There's only one goodness that never ends, and that's the goodness of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. If thou continue in his goodness, would each of you make a vow to God right now? I will not be a part of anything but the goodness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise, if you don't, thou shalt be cut off. God forbid. Make a vow tonight. I'm going to continue in the goodness of Jesus. I'm going to dwell on that. I'm not going to dwell. And it breaks my heart when I see people who have heard the grace of God over and over and over, and then one person makes a move in the wrong direction, maybe says the wrong thing. And what do? We start dwelling on it. And we start wanting that person to be damned. We should be praying that person will know the goodness of God. And if you don't pray anything else, you've joined and become worse than they are. Behold, therefore, I'm reading the 22nd chapter, 22nd verse again. Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God. That's a very interesting statement, the severity of God. You see, if his goodness is not appropriated by faith, by the grace of God, then there's nothing left for a human being but the severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but toward thee, toward all of you, goodness. If you continue in his goodness, otherwise you shall be cut off. And they also, if they abide still in unbelief, that's the curse of mankind. Simple. Unbelief. God cannot be God. Jesus cannot be the real Savior. He couldn't have dared love me that much to pay for my eternal salvation. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, they shall be grafted in. That's what has happened to you and me. We were of the wild olive tree, but we have been grafted in to the beautiful, holy, productive olive tree. I love to remember, and this may not even seem like it fits in the context of tonight, but I remember going to Taibbi on the West Bank in Israel and sitting down and talking to a brother. His name was Fakhri. He had been under the Ottoman Empire rulership. He had been under the English mandate. He had been under the Jordanian and is now under the Israeli. But he's gone now to be in heaven, but he owned a beautiful olive grove. And to sit there and talk to him and know that all he'd been through and he still believed in the goodness of God. Oh, dear people, for God is able. Who is able? God is able to grasp them in again. For if there were out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into the good olive tree. And that's what you call supernatural salvation. Not salvation that comes by something you have done, but what he has done. How much more shall these, which be the natural branches, that's Israel, be grafted in their own olive tree, Israel with all that's wrong with it, and all that the Jews have done against the Messiah. God one day will overcome all of their evil and all of their rabbinical lies that they have told to people. And God will bring them in. For I would, verse 25, for I would not, brethren, save people, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery. What mystery? How that God, in spite of Israel's rebellion, God is going to bring them back to him. And the Messiah is coming back to this earth. And you know what your position will be in the millennial kingdom and mine? It'll be how much I was willing to trust him in spite of all that was wrong. I still believed in the goodness and the mercy and the grace of God. There is so much hell going on and so much damnable, actually cursing God because of what's happening in this world. God's goodness still reigns. Supreme. And tonight this church can rise up and say, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth, goodwill toward men, even though there's so much hell. And I would, brethren, that ye should not be ignorant of this mystery. It should not be a mystery to you, lest you should be wise in your own conceit. And this is the curse of mankind today. Mankind says, I will not let God be the wise one. I'm going to be the wise one. And I'm going to be wise in my own conceit. I'm going to be conceited spiritually. Blindness in part has happened to Israel. That's obvious. And when will that stop? Until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Wait a minute. I'm a Gentile as far as I know. And so are you. Are we going to allow the gospel to stop? Are we going to, Lord, I don't like to get into this, but I have to. There is so much paganism that is invading the churches of the living God. Please, those of you who are here tonight, Do not allow it to happen here. Paganism dominating the church of the living God. And if you don't know what I mean, God bless your ignorance. Verse 26. And so all Israel shall be saved. You explain that to me, and you'll be the greatest theologian on the face of the earth. I don't understand it. I don't have to understand it. God said it. I believe it. And that's all that matters. And so all Israel shall be saved, as is written. What's going to happen? Here's what's going to happen. There shall come out of Zion a deliverer. That's Jesus. And shall turn away the ungodly from Jacob. For this is my covenant. And God's covenant is 100%. For this is my covenant with them, when I shall take away their sins. And just like he took yours away, he's going to take theirs away. And as concerning the gospel, the good news, they are enemies for your sake. But as touching the election, God. Now, you may not comprehend this. I don't know. But it's simple to me. Back in eternity, God saw everything that would happen, and he said, I'm going to win. I am a winner. And although it may look the opposite to those who do not believe in the grace of God, I'm thankful for that verse. For by grace are ye saved. Through faith. And that not of yourself. Get yourself out of the picture. And put Jesus in that empty spot that you have tried to occupy. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But as touching the election, that which God has determined before eternity, back in eternity, they are beloved for our Father's sake, not for their sake. God doesn't love me for my sake. He loves you for his sake. Think about that. And let that be a rejoicing in your heart. It's not because of you or me. It's because of who he is. And then we end with that great verse. For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. That means that God, in his great magnificent plan, cannot and will not change one iota. He will continue to be God no matter what may happen among me and mankind. He is God, and he will not change. I change, but he never changes. Let your flesh be nailed to the cross. Let your emotions die, and let the Spirit rise up in great joy as we stand to sing.
Amen. Let's all stand and offer up Jesus. Paid it all. Jesus paid it all. I can hear my Savior say, thy strength in need is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find
no, of course you do. God's not some senile old man in a rocking chair up in heaven waiting for the end to come. He's alive.
Amen.
And you are because of him. I pray to God tonight that his goodness and his mercy and his love has penetrated deeper than the end as far as man sees it. Father, thank you for who you are, and thank you for who we can be because of who you are. In Jesus' name. And we ask you to curse the paganism and cause it to rush out of your church like a evil being. And may the goodness of God move in that vacant spot. In Jesus' name, amen.